This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's Monday in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard Sean. John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atitula. Figgy is here. The scenario is first weekend without NFL football of the season. So 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What did you do with your weekend? What caught your attention? What drew your attention? And I have a strong feeling that I know what a lot of this conversation will be about, even though I imagine that it did not.
Who's coming in last place
very this weekend here in this situation?
Look, man, that was unwatchable, man. That was just
what are you talking about?
NBA I don't understand All-Star what you weekend. Mean.
I thought you talked about SNL.
I'm gonna get to that.
Been watching.
I'm gonna get to that. There's no question about that. But just for your first point, look, USA Canada hockey. I had no idea I was gonna watch every
four
minute
nations
of that.
Face off.
Dude, that was so good, and it got me in the way it should get me in. Oh, three fights in the first 9 seconds. I'll switch over to that. Let's go. That was probably least.
Wait, hold on. Did you stumble onto what could be a conspiracy if you decide to start one, which is the NHL decided that they were going to juice up this? Like, what better billboard is there? Like, hey, y'all getting a whole bunch of fights right quick and see if we can get people to flip this channel.
I switched over not long after they had those three fights. Of course, they showed them, you know, a million times. And it worked. And
we see you, NHL. See you, Bettman. You're not slick.
No, that was good. It worked.
They was carrying the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef over. That was spilling over.
Hey, I was in on that game probably.
I mean, if we're going to be honest, there's a possibility that there's geopolitical.
Have
to deal with that. We won't talk about that.
Booing the anthem.
But there's a possibility. There is quite a possibility that there's geopolitical
ramifications. They should have played not like us.
They interviewed Kachuk like about 5 minutes.
Which one? Because both of them got in there. Both Kachuks got in there.
Yeah.
And then JT Miller came through as well.
They interviewed one of the Kachuks. Okay.
A Kachuk.
And he said, do you want to go first? To his other brother. He said, I asked my brother, do you want to go first? Like, they planned.
They knew what time it was.
They planned like as soon as
they didn't even put on the gloves. Why put them on if you don't drop them right
as soon as they dropped the puck, they dropped their gloves and their sticks, and then it was on. And it worked. I watched that whole game. It was badass. I mean, that we did stumble upon something. So that was probably front and center for me. I'll set aside the Genesis Invitational because I'm a golf nerd.
Hey, man, if you got some support, if you were watching the Genesis Invitational, go ahead
Auburg
and text in.
With the great win. But anyway.
Who?
Auburg.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Auburg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he won.
Who? Spell that for me real quick.
A-B-E-R-G.
Okay, very good.
First win on the tour. Okay. So he gets to go to the Masters. That's neither here nor there.
I'm learning.
But
Ludwig. Ooh, that's a fun
Ludwig
name.
Auburg. Yeah. Okay. College basketball, man. I mean, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that Ludwig Auburg somehow. No. I was like, I'm lost now. No. But yes, college basketball was popping.
It was all over Auburn. Woo. Man, they look good.
I really should continue to hold out my reserve judgment here. Auburn looks like they might be the best team in the nation.
They have the look. Isn't it wild, though? Like, it all comes back to how bad the NBA All-Star Weekend was. The only reason I saw Mac McClung do his bearded lady, you know, dunking.
Bearded lady.
That's all he was. He was a sideshow. Yeah, I mean, he was a novelty.
Okay.
The only reason, it was. I mean, are we being honest?
The dunk contest in and of itself is a novelty, is it not?
But not like that. Not with jumping over cars.
But was that the best?
Oh, well, I mean, you've been around. What was like the late Blake aughts Griffin? To the early teens? Yeah. That was what we was doing. We was out here jumping over cars.
He's a G-leaguer.
Blowing out candles and putting stickers on the backboard. Yeah, yeah, man, of course. Like, yeah. But this is our fault. And I say very hesitantly because I don't think I'm the problem here. However, this is our fault. Yeah. We're the ones that come to the table without having any level of like, we are difficult to impress.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's going to have to be bearded lady for us to get in because mm-hmm. if you're going to get out here just doing regular dunks, ain't nobody happy about just that.
Yeah, but here's the point.
Stephon Castle.
The only reason I saw that is because the dunk contest coincided with in between the second and third period of the hockey game. It's the only reason I switched over. So it all comes back to how bad All-Star Weekend was. But, dude, if you want to talk about the weekend, I know you were in on UConn South Carolina women. I watched some of that.
You watched more than I did. Not for lack of wanting to. Moms was in town.
Yeah.
And so it took – I feel like this is – I wonder how many people had this effect where it's like, hey, there's not NFL on that usually commands your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's not as many events that you're like, hey, I absolutely must plan my time around this.
Mm-hmm.
How many folks just kind of spent time with the folks and with family? Because mom had me all over West and Southwest Houston on Saturday and Sunday, to be completely
good
honest.
Good for her.
So I was watching
good quality time
on the phone as much as I could, mm-hmm. or, you know, I caught things and tried to catch up in various different places.
She told you to put your phone down?
No, she knows what time, she knows what time it is. She understands what
put
I do
away.
For work.
But we're eating here.
But I also tried to be. I also tried to very much be attentive and spend time.
Hell, Daytona 500.
Yeah, which that was a little tough because I mean we're getting into the racing of it all, which is that rain start coming down and now we push it and we get these cautions and we get stoppages. We got some crazy. We got some crazy wrecks.
Yeah.
As well. I think it was a Priest had a flip happen, which I mean
two or three,
not good. But I mean it's always good when you're like, hey, is he fine? Okay, now we can talk about how wild that was.
Yeah.
But yes, the Daytona 500 happened, and I that was kind of on, but I didn't get a chance to like watch it as closely as
I
would like to.
No, I didn't watch it. I just watched a little bit in the middle and a little at the end. But here again, it's coming back to, boy, the NBA has a problem.
Yeah, and this is supposed to be their weekend, right?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be the headliners on the weekend with all these things we've talked about. By the way, shout out to Darius Fulgham, who had a boxing match. That I was trying to watch.
Mom wouldn't let you.
That's not why. That's actually not why. But yeah, man, there's a lot of different things that are happening. But this is supposed to be NBA All-Star Weekend. It's supposed to carry that weight, and it just doesn't feel like it does. And some of it, I think, also is like we go in anticipating that it's not going to, but then it's not like they come out here and change
worse,
our minds.
It was worse than I thought it would be.
I don't know that. Okay, the entirety of the weekend.
Well, certainly the game.
The little all-star tournament, I guess, is the way
good
that we should
Lord
call it.
Almighty.
It was a little bit tough.
Could you understand it?
Oh, yeah, I get the tournament. But I'm also somebody who's more inclined to latch on to what they're doing there. And for those of you that did not understand it, they had the normal group of all-stars that they voted in East and West. They separated those out into three teams of eight.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they did kind of a little theme. They did kind of the international players.
Yeah.
They did like what they called the OGs and then kind of the young all-stars were the three different teams. Plus, then they brought from the Rising Stars a little tournament game that they had on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They brought one of those teams in to fill out a little group of four, which that team included a couple of Rockets. So you had three Rockets playing on Sunday, which I don't know. Did that give you any level of intrigue? Obviously, Alperen Şengün on the international team, and boy, did he look like a child. He looked like a happy child getting to spend time over the weekend with Nikola Jokic, who is kind of like one of his favorite players, if not his favorite player. But then you got Reed Shepard, who was on the G League kind of Rising Stars team, obviously with all the G League time that he's had this year. And then Amen Thompson was selected by Candace Parker to join that group when they went playing on Sunday. So he got a little taste of playing on Sunday. I think Alperen Şengün was giving him a little hell about it. They were wearing their jerseys like, no, you're a Rising Star. I'm a full thing. You know? So they were having a little fun back and forth. I think that ended up on social media. But all those guys got to play. But then they had two of those teams play a quick game, 240 specifically, right? So they didn't have a time which, you know, kind of dictated the minutes or whatever. So I think Alperen only got like 4 minutes of game time, but it wasn't timed. It was just 2:40, which I actually thought I helped the actual game of it. Figgy, I think we were talking about it this morning.
Yeah.
The actual gameplay in the minutes that the games were playing looked more competitive. There was more defense because it's not like, oh, we're just running out the clock and then we'll lock in. It was that they had, I felt like they had actually some incentive to try and play a little bit more defense. It still looked all-star. There was still a little disjointedness with some bad passes or whatever. Yeah. But at least there was a lot of blocks that happened early, which I know blocks aren't inherently defense. But, I mean, there was a little bit of effort on the, I guess, the kind of the scale of all-star NBA all-star games. It looked, the actual games looked better, in my opinion.
Here's all you need to know. And you referenced it during the toss. They had 42 minutes of actual basketball in a three-hour show.
Yeah, I think
that's awful.
But that's the TV side of this. If they just made that, hey, we're going to do an hour and a half, where you have your pregame, you have your halftime, you know, Too Short, and Saweetie, who I didn't know was from the Bay, to be completely honest.
Oh, yeah. I knew she was from Cali, but I didn't know she was from the Bay.
Yeah, so Too Short, Saweetie. Who else was performing? Someone else performed. Oh, E-40.
Yeah.
Those guys, you know, you have your halftime or whatever the equivalent of celebration, and then you finish out the game, and then we keep it moving. Like, if we do that, all right. I think they bloated it. Because I know that, Figgy, you were talking about your experience, and you couldn't even find the basketball.
Yeah. I tried to tap in before the game. I wanted to see, the first game and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, when we going to tip off, man? Pause.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, what's up with the game?
Well,
so I tuned out of it. I'm like, you know what? I'll watch something else and come back later. I think the issue is because I think, like you said, Lopez, it was 42 minutes of actual basketball. And they spread it all of that out.
And Kevin Hart.
Where I'm just like, man, like, give me some. Yeah, like, if they did the last 42 minutes of straight basketball, I would have been fine with it.
Well, here's.
But it was just all over the place.
It was. And here's all you need to know about how bad it was. And I do have a hot take on this that I'm curious what you guys think.
Jeremy on the YouTube agrees with me. Haven't seen that much trying in an all-star game since 03. I think that number might be a little bit too far back in my estimation. But still, like, no, there was definitely a little bit more trying in this because of, I think, the way that they went about it, just a little bit.
But here's what you need to know. If you take away college basketball, which was playing at a very high level, going down the stretch, entering tournament time, if you just eliminate all of college basketball over the weekend,
okay,
you still had, it still ranked that best fifth of things you wanted to watch. You know, with the hockey and the whatever else.
Yeah, people were watching. Gushing over the hockey.
Yeah, and everything else. And I walked away from the weekend thinking Adam Silver needs to be replaced.
Damn,
he needs to go. He needs to go, man.
If you come to it from there, like, there's other ways you can get there as well. I think one of the things he was talking about was, and I got to recall exactly, because, you know, he has, just like Commissioner Goodell in the NFL, like, these instances give them the opportunity to, you know, step in front of the media and have some of these kind of state of the league type addresses. And some of his answers in certain circumstances were patently unsavory, right?
Yes.
Just like unsatisfying.
Yes.
On some of the answers, I know that officiating was something that came up, and he was, you know, kind of talking. I think his first statement was just, you know, talking about the fact that they have a union as well. Like, it just feels like you get to places where when you're hearing things from the commissioner, you're not hearing things that are satisfactory. You're not hearing things that are going to give you any level of solution to the various things that the NBA rather is plagued with. Steph talked about how he'd like to see a grading system for the refs, and Adam Silver said the officials have their own union, human resources issues. Nobody necessarily wants to have their employment record published. And yes, I understand that, but like, and that is, he's right, but that's not going to work here when it comes to like trying to satisfy and satiate your fans.
Let me give you two reasons why I don't think it's outrageous to say we need a new commissioner. The first one comes from a current player talking about the weekend.
Scale of 1 to 10, your thoughts of the format?
10 being the best.
Yes.
A 0. Sucks. Same basketball.
I just wish you were more honest.
That's Draymond.
Well, can I give you a little bit of the precursor for that? Because I think that for Draymond, there's a perspective there that informs, rather, is the word I'm looking for, why he gave it a 0.
This question leads to where he wants to go.
You work all year to be an all-star, and you get to play up to 40, and then you're done. This is so unfair to Victor Wembanyama, who just took this game really seriously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who just took this game really seriously. When you talk about chasing after the points records, Melo and Kobe and all these guys who've had great scoring nights, they don't get the opportunity to do that with this game. Also, we can watch some rising stars. We're about to watch the Olympic team. Now we get the treat of watching the Olympic team play against a U19 team. Come on, what are we doing? This is ridiculous.
So from his perspective, the problem was, oh, they had rising stars involved in it. My thing about it is, if you did not want this to happen, like this, the reason that they had to do this is because y'all did not take a level of pride in the game to play it at a high level. And I understand some of the logical reasons why you get there. However, you don't get to be part of the reason why people don't care about this game. And then when people are searching for answers, then go, oh, that's terrible.
But it wasn't his decision. I mean, you know,
to change the format, sure.
Yeah, and so the format he hated.
But this is the thing, is we don't get to this place with that format if the East-West game in and of itself still had a level of passion and trying so that, you know, people are still entertained by the game itself.
And I think the worst part about this, too, you had somebody like LeBron James who last minute said, you know what?
Yeah.
I can't.
But again,
I get that, but
LeBron is also 47 years old with an ankle injury.
I get that, but it's still kind of like it kind of come across like, man, I don't give a damn about this guy. I've been here long enough where, you know, I'm not really arguing about, oh, somebody else could have been in that position, but somebody else that wanted to play in that game could have been there.
Yeah, but here's my point.
The optics don't work.
Here's my point. I still think even that argument that he's making and you're making regarding, you know, why don't you try a little harder? I still think that's my second reason that Adam Silver needs to go. He really does. Because you've had how many years? 11 years he's been commissioner that you still haven't gotten it right. And
they've tried a lot of things. Like
and it's failed. That's what I'm saying. I think it comes back onto his lap.
How do you make somebody do something they don't want to?
But you figure out a way to get it done the right way because you're commissioner. And
it's easy for us to say you figure it out.
But it was done in the past. It was done in the past. It was competitive. It was a harder, you know, tougher game, et cetera. But here's the second part of that. You've been commissioner for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing you've done is a play-in tournament. Still to be determined on the in-season tournament, but the best thing you've done is a play-in tournament. Everything else has been a fail. Everything. It comes back to Adam Silver. I mean, you've got to make a change there.
I think that you would find yourself, like, I think there's reasons to make the case. I don't think the All-Star game is the reason.
No, I'm saying not just the All-Star.
No, I hear you.
But the fact that all these things that he's done, they've all failed. Like, everything has failed. And it's time to realize something else has got to happen.
How do you get these guys to play in an All-Star game, though? Because I was yesterday, it was like early that morning, they played the 2009 All-Star mm-hmm. game. And so it was a lot of, you had Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. He was playing and all that stuff. And it wasn't like the same, it wasn't like defense in that game either. But you could tell them boys, somebody's trying to win MVP. Mm-hmm. Like everybody looked like they was trying to win something. And I just don't know how you motivate these guys to play like they want to win something.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they literally don't care.
The money is big enough, right, that there's not really an incentive that you can have besides pride. So these dudes have to have a level of pride in order to get there. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's internal.
But you can
that's
talk amongst about, the dudes. You can talk about.
Like, we could talk about trying to generate that level of want to. That's going to have to be
but
like.
But again, you're talking about the All-Star game.
Taking a level of ownership from the players on that level in what you're doing.
This is how I'll put a bow on everything. In any other industry, if these things happen on your watch, you get replaced. Like, I'm talking about, you know, everything from just the way that, you know, load management to the style of the game, the three-point stuff. You know, Draymond went on, talked about that too, and quoted, I guess he quoted Kobe at one point, saying it's like, you know, it's not good basketball. No, I don't care how it happened. It happened under your watch. In any other industry, mm-hmm. any industry at all, this industry, any industry, if it happens under your watch, you get replaced.
And I think one of the things we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things for him, though, is like also we have to talk about what the metric is of success. And for him and for a lot of commissioners, I understand that while we want, as the, you know, viewing public, want it to be entertaining, it seems like it's entertaining enough that it's still garnering all of the money that ultimately the owners want. And those are his bosses directly. And so that's where Silver continues to be. But I think it's a fair point also made, is that none of these real all-star games have a huge level of interest anymore. I think that we are in an era where we get to see all the games. And so the idea that, oh, we finally get to see our favorite players, that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what all-star games were created for. It's like, oh, you never get to see the people who play in the AL. So here, when they come together, you get to see the NL and the AL, all the best players. We don't need that anymore. We get those straight to our phone when they happen.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if we're just in an era where this is an antiquated thing that we maybe need to leave the vestige of. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I guess passionate about the All-Star game. Maybe not in a good way, but it's there in some ways. All right, we're getting going on a Monday here in the loop. Let's circle back to the Texans. There was a couple of really interesting pieces that came out this weekend. Unfortunately, being myself, I'm going to focus on the negative one first. There was a lot of things that have come out about Bobby Slowik, and I feel like in a way we could do the thing where we go, there was negative stuff. And let's see how we make it into a positive moving forward. Let's talk about some things that we heard out of the building about Bobby Slowik's tenure next.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the game number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, Figgy Fig, here with you. As everybody is diagnosing what's wrong with All-Star Game, All-Star
Weekend. I'll tell you what's wrong with the NBA. Right.
Hold on to that. We got a little bit something for you in the question of the day.
I'll tell you what's wrong.
I bet you will.
Question of the day, you'll enjoy.
Yeah, question of the day. We'll get into fixing it. We'll put together the In the Loop Brain Trust. We'll put together a focus group.
Well, that's a reach.
And we'll, what?
Brain trust?
Well, I mean, we got listeners. They got brains.
Such as it is.
Yeah, man. That's the way the show works, man. The listeners also are included in this. Via the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line. 713-572-4610. Also, shout out to Mokeyram Injury Lawyers for our live stream. There's the YouTube, Sports Radio 610, and then 610 Houston on Twitch. Both of those available to you. Man, an interesting piece. I thought a very insightful piece. By DJ Bienemy at ESPN. I think it came through on Saturday, maybe, if my memory serves me, where he was kind of going through and looking at Bobby Slowik's time, right? The predictability and lack of adjustments that doomed Bobby Slowik and the Texans. A really interesting piece, obviously sourced very well by DJ Bienemy, about this team and its offense, particularly last year, but under his tenure in the last two seasons. And of course, Bobby Slowik now on to, you know, working with as a senior passing game coordinator of sorts with the Miami Dolphins. But, you know, moves on from here. And of course, we always say it, man, when somebody moves on, then you get a little bit more of a flow of information of what actually happened. People feel a little more comfortable telling you. Mm-hmm. And I think we got some really insightful stuff in this piece. And it feels like it moved you in a very particular way.
Yeah, I've been trying. Y'all have, you know, listening to this show the last few weeks, I've been trying to, like, say, okay, let's temper the bash on Bobby stuff. I'm not going to try anymore.
Oh, wow.
I'm really not.
Why you ain't doing what he was hurt?
Uh-oh.
Say it to his face.
I gave the man the benefit of the doubt, you know? I'm like, everybody does that. Oh, he's gone now. Like, oh, we played an up-tempo basketball style. Now we're going to slow it down. Oh, of course you are, because that sucked, you know? Or he was a disciplinarian. Now we're going to be more player-friendly. Of course you are, because that sucked. People just automatically, you know, default to, yeah, that guy was awful. I'm not going to defend him anymore, because it seems like that guy was really, really exactly what we speculated that he was, and that was not very flexible, certainly not very adaptable to the players, because sources around the league and in that building and a player, you know, have flat out said, a lot of times the anonymous quotes, you sort of like, we'll see, you know, I believe it. I believe that was a player who stated a strong opinion. When they said, I don't think we had a true identity of what the bleep we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's not, you know, that's not just an easy sort of like backhanded insult. No, that's direct.
Right. Yeah. No, and I mean, these are things that you could see and that various people who, you know, cover the team and watch this team discussed mm-hmm. over that time period. It's just, it's interesting to get like that interior sourcing via DJ Bienemy and ESPN to kind of confirm that that's what they felt in the building. I think that these things can be insightful also and helpful. All right, what were they feeling, right? Or did they believe in this and then ultimately, you know, just move on? Or did you see things? And I mean, some of the quotes in a segment I like to call reading. We simply weren't good enough offensively, a team source told ESPN. We had all season to make adjustments and improvements, and it never happened, which that is a hugely damning thing about this team. And if you could see it again. Like, you could see it time and time again. We didn't see real adjustments until real late in the season, when it's fair to assume that somebody stepped in and forced those adjustments to be had. Otherwise, you were in the same place doing the same thing and not seeing results. And then ultimately you mentioned that a player told ESPN, quote, I don't think we had a true identity of what the bleep we wanted to do. And those, like, those might be the biggest indictments. And of course, those were the things that I think people latched onto most from this article. And there's a lot more in there that I found to be interesting, right? And there's some more quotes that I'll read. But more importantly, like, What does that then do for you in spinning this forward, right, and trying to make this a positive? Because it does feel like in hiring Nick Caley, they found somebody to at least address those things in particular. Well, one of those things, because I feel like the idea of adjustments feels like something that Nick Caley will do. I mean, we heard similar things in his opening press conference. I will say, we don't really have a great idea that there is going to be a solid identity of what this team is, because as of right now, at a very early juncture of, you know, his tenure as the offensive coordinator, we haven't really gotten anything near concrete on what this offense will look like, which is fair. No, however, it is a space to watch as we go through.
No, we haven't. But, you know, we talked about the we didn't know what the bleep we wanted to do quote, and that's the one that's grabbing the headlines. The second one you read is the one that really opened my eyes to, okay, everything that I'm not going to temper anything when it comes to Bobby. He was inflexible, rigid. And frankly, when they say, you know, we had all season to make adjustments and improvements, and it never happened. That tells me that C.J. Stroud was in the middle of it, because everything trickles down from the quarterback. I find it almost impossible to believe now that C.J. Stroud, at some point when he was getting pummeled, didn't say, hey, what if we did this? You know, and on top of that, coaches. You know, I think it's a very big tell that Cole Popovich is still on this coaching staff. Because a lot of times, if it was just a complete fail offensively, everybody would have been, you know, replaced. The fact that they left Cole Popovich tells me that at least one coach, him, and I'm speculating, but him, tried to get Bobby Slowick to block a different way, to approach the run game or protections a different way, and he didn't do it. The fact that he said, didn't make all season to make adjustments and improvements, and it never happened, that points directly to Bobby Slowick. And directly to not being flexible and listening to people.
Yeah, and speaking towards the idea of not making adjustments, right? I think that there was a lot of things, a lot more quotes that were in here, including a player saying, when teams would take away what we wanted to do, we just didn't have answers for it. That is a huge indictment, right? There's not really a great reason for you to have a big brain if that brain does not give you other answers. And I think that some of that is indicative of being inexperienced. Like, you don't have the experience to call upon to say, okay, well, in various different circumstances, these things have worked, so I'll go to those places. But it is problematic that it did not feel like you did not have answers. How about this when it comes to, and this was something I think you were strong on, another excerpt. Stroud wasn't allowed to change protections at the line of scrimmage often in Slowick's offense. It was the center's responsibility. A lot of the calls were considered basic, according to team sources, as simple as having three offensive linemen zone blocking one side while the other backside blockers were one-on-one in protection against backside rushes. But the lack of communication within those blocking plans versus stunts led to free rushers, which is why Stroud faced 52 unblocked pressures, which was the second most in the NFL, right? And then, of course, Strasser's approach wasn't easy for some players either, according to a team source, as he struggled to connect with the offensive line. But the woes weren't all on Slowick or Strasser. Sometimes the players just failed to execute. And that last part, we agree with. But going back to the first part about the idea of, like, hey, the protections at the line and it being simple and there not being communication within it, like, that is so damning.
He treated C.J. Stroud, from what I can gather and from what we've heard and speculated about on this show for the last few weeks, is he treated C.J. Stroud like a high school quarterback. No, you do it this way. Here's your first read, here's your second read, et cetera. And that's not how you should treat a quarterback like C.J. Stroud. And in fact, this whole piece was actually encouraging to me, like because there's no way that Nick Caley's coming in and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. We're not going to trust the line. We're not going to change our blocking assignments. We're not going to trust C.J. Stroud to help with protections and such. It's encouraging because I feel like he's going to get with C.J. Stroud or the quarterback coach or whomever and say, listen, that we're listening to you now. Your voice is going to be heard, and we're going to allow you to do this, this, and this. It's actually an encouraging thing, but boy, I'm done defending Bobby Slowick. It seems like it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a good way of looking at it. And, of course, if we're willing to take Nick Caley at his word, which I imagine we probably are, especially at this early juncture, it seems like, again, player-focused approach. You know, it's going to be not forcing a square peg into a round hole. It seems like very much a lot of what he said will combat kind of these things, and so it was really insightful to kind of get some real confirmation from the interior of what this is looking like. How do you feel about this, John, though, before we move on from 713? I put a lot of this blame on the head coach. Hold D'Amico accountable, too. He knew he was who he was, and the character not a good sign. I don't know that this speaks necessarily fully to Bobby's character. I feel like that might be a bridge too far, but I think that, yeah, D'Amico probably has a level of accountability to be held on allowing this kind of to operate in the way that it did. But how much is there to be said for letting that man do what he wants to do as that be while he's in that position and then judging him accordingly when you get to the place when it's time to?
I think D'Amico would tell you his biggest mistake was he just trusted Bobby Slowick. And I don't see that happening again. I could see D'Amico poking his head into some of these early week meeting rooms a lot more. Asking coaches and assistant coaches, you know, what do you think we're doing? You know, having a better communication. Because let's keep in mind, he's the defensive coordinator with Matt Burke, and I'm sure he spent a lot of time on the defensive side.
Yeah, but I mean,
But that's not his job.
Yeah. If you want to be the defensive coordinator, that's cool. The responsibility ultimately still falls all the way around.
I think you're going to see a lot from D'Amico this year because now it's like, he's calling the plays on defense and all that stuff. He got a lot of hand in the defensive stuff, but now you kind of got to overlook everything now.
I think D'Amico will tell you that. I think that's going to be the biggest change.
Yeah. So we should see what D'Amico really is as a head coach overlooking everything now rather than I'm going to focus on the defense and I trust you to have the offense.
Totally agree.
And it does seem like he's accepting that responsibility that, you know, the hectic nature of trying to do all of these things is relatively new head coach. I think that he's learning. Hey, man, there's a lot more to it, and there's a reason why this job is a job in and of itself, right? Outside of being a play caller, he's definitely going to have to, you know, answer for, or maybe not answer specifically for it in a way that I think we would talk about, but he's definitely going to have to account for how to be better at managing those things and being more more hands-on and more attentive to what's happening offensively. But I think that, look, if we're willing to take the entry-level press conference for what it is at face value, it seems like some of these things, at least, will be there will be a focus and a clear effort to make sure that these don't happen again next year for your Houston Texans. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. Yeah, we can all agree that the All-Star break doesn't work, but let's bring some solutions. Let's not just be Debbie Downers, and I'd like to have fun with this. So what's the most outlandish way that you would fix the NBA All-Star game? 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Text in your most outlandish way to fix the NBA All-Star Game, and we'll talk about it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
I didn't realize it was a Tribe Called Quest Monday. All right, very good. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get in to our question of the day. Everybody wants to talk about how bad the NBA All-Star Game is. Let's try and see if we can fix it here. 713-572-4610, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What's the most outlandish way that you would fix the NBA All-Star Game? I'm not looking for just like reasonable, level-headed answers for this.
That's $5 million a player.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's outlandish? Outlandish?
No, I'm saying that's what people have said.
Gone to the payments, which, I mean, Maybe. The tough thing about the All-Star is that oftentimes you're talking about a lot of the dudes who are like on the maxes,
$5 million is $5 million.
But man. $5 million is still big money. Yeah. Where that $5 million coming from? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess that is not your concern.
But that's not the outrageous one.
That's not the outrageous one. But yeah, let us know. What are your outrageous, or outlandish ways that you'd fix the All-Star game? All right.
I got you.
You got it?
It's so crazy it just might work. And when you say that, you know it's going to be out there.
Crazy like a fox.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Are foxes crazy? Like, why is that? Why does that statement happen?
That's one of those. Yeah.
Why is that
really,
one out there? All right. Well, now I'm about to be on a side quest while you're talking here because I want to find that out.
All right. So you pick your all-star teams, East versus West, right? As always.
Yes, please go back to East versus West.
East versus West. You pick your, as it used to be. But what you do is you don't play a game. You play a series of, let's say, 10. I know there's more than that on the roster, but you can kind of pick it and do other stuff with them.
It's 12 apiece.
Yeah. Oh, you can go 12 then. And you play a one-on-one tournament. In other words, you line up who you're going to play, and you play one-on-one 12 times. And the winner gets the All-Star Game trophy. You also have an MVP. You also have much more money. If you win your individual one-on-one, you get a certain bonus. If you win as a team, you get a certain bonus. Because here's why one-on-one will work. You would truly like.
Is this basically like what Ryder Cup golf?
Pretty much
is what you're thinking.
Maybe you could even add like a 3-on-3, a 1-on-1, a 3-on-3, whatever. Because when you do that, the competition is going to take care of itself. Because if it's me versus Figgy as All-Stars, he's on the East, I'm on the West. We're going to play our ass off, because that's one-on-one.
Yeah, no, that's ego.
That's one-on-one. And we're going to play for our teammates. And the teammates are going to be on the bench cheering us on, and they're going to be arguing with the refs about calls and all this other stuff. You play to 5-by-1s either 12 times or 7 times with a 2-on-2 and a 3-on-3 in there somewhere. If you just pick East versus West, one-on-one tournament takes care of itself.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, we just saw a one-on-one tournament with the Unrivaled
League. They go hard, man.
I thought it was really interesting because, I mean, there's not egos. And I feel like they have that, what we're talking about, that pride, because they feel like they're trying to grow the women's game. So, like, they're out there. They're putting their pride to the side. And we saw some upsets in ways that I did not anticipate in that women's one-on-one. But, I mean, it led to some interesting stuff. If you found level to do one-on-one stuff, one of the things I always throw up is King of the Court, because I know that's a game that they play where it's just like, whoever's on, you score on them, or if you stop them, hey, whoever, and then you stay on and you keep this thing rotating. Like, that'd be cool. But yeah, some level of one-on-one, man.
I'm not going to mail anything in a one-on-one.
All right. I like what we're doing here on the text line from the 713. Take the three-point line and make it a half court. Add hand-checking, hand slaps. Do that for the sport. Oh, just in general? I feel like taking away the three-point line might be an interesting concept where, hey, we're not doing the extra numbers of it, and that might incentivize people to, hey, just go and try and dunk on somebody. Yeah. Like, just go and try and get to the rim consistently. I understand that's not everybody's game, but maybe that'll do something. I like what we're doing there. Somebody said USA versus World might be interesting, but still don't think that they care. Seth said that he kind of likes
Jokic wants?
Well, they did a little something similar to that. It wasn't inherently that way, but in picking the little three teams, you had the kind of an international team of sorts. That's the one that Alperen Şengün ended up on with Jokic and Giannis and those types of things. Yeah, man, they've talked about the possibility. I think Wemby had talked about kind of liking the idea, or he seemed somewhat indifferent, like, hey, it's cool, I enjoyed it, and if we did that, that'd be something. Steph seemed to be a proponent of it. I don't know that they actually go that way, but that maybe that's a way that you can go. I don't know why I start going to props. I'm like, hey, man, basically make a slam ball. I want to see some trampolines. I don't know.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, definitely outrageous. They definitely wouldn't do that because everybody be worried about injuries or whatever. Somebody said the only way to be competitive again is money. Like, okay, but how can we do money if it's not just winners? Could we do, like, money on very particular stats? Right? Yeah, like, hey, man, you get $300 for every block that you get. Or if you dunk on somebody's head top, that's $1,000 every time you do it. Right? Like, could we do it like that where we say, hey, man, for each particular stat, you just run up your tally, and we'll see if you can make some money on this day.
I think there are some possibilities to get it done. The skills competition... Well, we saw that this year. It's just
shout out to your boy Wemby.
How about Wemby, man?
Just
he's what do you like to say? That third eye, man. He's got it. He had it working. And by the way, he and Chris Paul, they actually asked an official, can we do this? And the official said yes.
Well, there's a little clarification on that. I was going to play it later, but let's get it here. This is Draymond Green giving you a little bit of insight from his perspective, because Wemby did say that he asked. This is what Dre had to say.
Wemby walked around the court asking everybody, like, so, because they say, make one or three attempts. And Wemby said, oh, so I could just get all three of them up there. And he's like, yeah. So he asked. Now, he may not have asked the right people. But I will say, in Wemby's defense,
he did ask a lot of people. I heard him ask maybe 5 or 6 people, like, so you sure I can just throw the ball?
See, that's a lesson. Know the right people to ask.
Yeah.
He was just asking the rest of the dudes. And that sounds like if somebody came and asked,
that's what they said. But, that's what it said in the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better go and ask the refs or go and ask the commissioner. It was so funny seeing the video. And if you don't know, in the skills challenge, there's a portion where you have to like get up shots. And it's like, hey, you have to try and make it. But in order to kind of keep this thing moving, they've added an additional rule. Like after 3 attempts, you just move on to the next thing in order to kind of keep it flowing. And they tried to cheat the rules.
They were gaming the system.
And then eventually they had a really fast score, but the league came through and was like, hey, y'all DQ because y'all was
I think the league made that up on the fly.
I mean, probably, but I don't blame them. They did the right thing. Have some damn pride.
What? You want to win.
Compete.
You want to win.
Quit being some damn cheaters trying to bend the rules and just go out here and hoop.
Yeah.
From the 832, do it like the old MTV Rock and Jock basketball games. Keep it to the normal regulation time, but add multipliers and incentives to the floor itself. Okay. Interesting.
What about taking away the three-point line?
Just entirely?
Yeah, for the All-Star
game. For
the All-Star game.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But should we also narrow the key? Should we just play 1960s basketball?
The skinny one?
1940s basketball, put the actual peach basket back up. They have to climb up there and get it?
No, not that drastic.
Okay, I'm just trying to think. They got to play in Chuck Taylor's.
You'll see like little give and goes and back screens and layups. And,
take it back to the original. Let's get an original rule book game. No actual dribbling, yes. Just passing. You got to get it out the peach bucket. You really have to go and get it. Somebody said, let's see, let the players' wives play in a 2-on-2 tournament.
That would be fun.
Ratings would be better.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Ratings
the wives
be
and girls' fence tournament?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that woof. I feel like one of the tough things is just getting some of these dudes to declare.
Yeah, some dudes will have the same girl.
I mean,
like three different players picked the same girl.
I would like to see Anthony Edwards, old lady, in there. Yeah, about 3 or 4 of them.
Oof, yeah, how about that? I got a whole team over here.
Okay. Somebody said, forget about playing the game. 3-point challenge, slam dunk competition, skills challenge. That's Saturday. So Saturday night on Sunday instead is what you're doing?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
I think what they should do, go back to East and West. And at the end of it all, I think they should kind of do like, you know how they do with MVP racing where they had like top 5 people?
Mm-hmm.
They should have their top 5 players of that game. And
go for it.
Whoever's number one should get a nod at the All-NBA team. Whoever went MVP should be on the All-NBA team. Number two should probably be on maybe the second All-NBA team.
Oh, man.
But they should do something like that.
We're doing
man.
The baseball thing where we put actual stakes on this exhibition game.
I would do it. I mean, I feel if somebody won an all NBA thing, they'd be out there balling out, man.
They'll try. Yeah. deflate the ball. All right. I like we're trying. We're trying things. I don't love it, but we're trying things. Red light, green light basketball. Yeah, let's get spicy with it. And the actual house lights will change.
Yeah.
And you have the regular lights. And then when it turns red, everybody has to stop. And then if you're not, you got to get your ass to the sideline.
That's
here.
Right.
Make the ball bigger. Or play with the women's ball, just a slightly smaller ball that's a little bit off.
190 to 188.
Nerf basketball.
Yeah.
I like what we're doing here. All right. Somebody said all the same position. 5 centers, 5 point guards, 5 forwards.
Well, we're there right now.
All right.
That's what we do.
I will say,
that's
the one thing I did like about the old All-Star games is seeing, like, Shaq taking the 3-pointer against Allen Iverson or something like that. I did like some of the stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Seems like people are getting real traction on the wives versus side chicks. All right, I'll run that up the flagpole and see if Commissioner Silver will go with it. I have a strong feeling
he might do it.
You
never know.
You never know until you ask.
He needs something.
That's right. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I think we fixed it. I think
we did.
All right, coming up next, let's go around the NFL where we're getting more in the Justin Tucker saga. And also, I think someone had a really interesting thought on the DJ Bienemy piece about Bobby Slowick. We'll talk about that more next.